So who are the job creators and who are the job destroyers? The arguments over tax cuts for corporations and small business claim that if there was more money to invest, there would be more businesses to employ people. This argument has become very personal for Mitt Romney, the former CEO of Bain Capital. In theory, Bain Capital, and in practice, says Romney, private equity investors take the risks that produce jobs in the economy. Bain Capital has money invested in hundreds of companies. One of those companies is Sensata, a technology firm that makes sensors found in cars and airplanes. It's a business that has facilities in the state of Massachusetts. And reporting on the Sensata experience with Bain Capital is Philip Martin from our partner WGBH in Boston. Philip joins us now. Philip, welcome back to the program.
John, thank you. Good morning.
So how did you create a strategy here to try to test the waters and figure out what the impact of Bain Capital might have been in the community you wanted to look at?
Well, we were looking at offshoring in general. We came across the story about Sensata. It's currently in Freeport, Illinois. About 170 employees of that firm are being laid off. They have essentially 3 months to leave their jobs. What they're doing in those 3 months, basically, some of them are training their replacements. Some of the replacements are in China. Some of the replacements are in Mexico. When Sensata bought the firm in 2010, it was a Honeywell automotive division. And they were told shortly after the purchase, that they would lose their jobs at the end of 2012 because those jobs were being offshored.
And this message came from Bain Capital, the new owners.
Bain Capital, the new owners, the majority owners, they basically they bought a Texas Instruments branch here in Massachusetts, in Attleboro. And Texas Instruments Sensors and Control Division became Sensata in 2006 after the Bain purchase. And then though offshoring had already begun in earnest many years before Bain purchased Sensata, or what was Texas Instruments Sensor and Control Division, it accelerated under this new ownership.
So, acquisition here, market there, private equity here, there, the other thing, it all comes down to a human face and a human voice. I'm going to play a clip now for our listeners to hear someone who had to react to precisely the circumstances that you're talking about here. We'll play the clip, and then you can come back and tell me a little bit about this man.
Oh, I'm sad. You had seen a place where in its heyday there were over 6,000 people in many different buildings doing many different jobs. And you go by there now, and those buildings, some of them are still empty. The people are gone. You know, these are all my friends. You work with people for decades. You know, it's difficult to say goodbye. You try to tell yourself you got to move on. But as you can tell, I'm not a young man. And so I had never envisioned moving on. I thought I would retire and, you know, travel around or do whatever retired people get to do. Well, that wasn't the case.
So, Philip Martin, you interviewed that fellow. It sounds like you were in his car.
That's right. We had to meet, actually, in the parking lot. It's almost subterfuge of a public library because he did not want his name revealed. In fact, of the 14 doors I knocked on, some literally, no one wanted to talk about this. A lot of these people basically signed confidentiality agreements, and they did not want to be on the record talking about their layoffs or forced retirement from Sensata, owned by Bain.
Did this fellow give his name?
We call this fellow Joe, and he was a technician, for lack of a better word. He is what he said. He was the fix-it guy and among the last to leave Sensata when the full layoffs in manufacturing were consummated in 2009 up to 2011. Again, the purchase of Sensata was in 2006, and for many of these workers, it was downhill after that.
And the story gets a little, I don't know if I want to say poignant or just ironic, in the sense that Joe not only is watching the outsourcing take place, but he's also actually involved in the training of replacement workers. How did that come about, and how did he receive that news?
Oh, not just Joe. There were many manufacturing workers. And when I say manufacturing workers, these were skilled workers. skilled people. They know how to make precision tools. Sensata, if you look under the hood of your car, you'll likely find a Sensata product. Those sensors, those beepers, those lights that go off when something's wrong, that's a Sensata product. A lot of that goes into GM, Chrysler, Ford cars. And he was very good at his job. He was proud of his job. And he headed off to China and to Mexico and Korea. And yes, he trained his replacement, as did others in not just Attleboro, but also Freeport, Illinois. And so it seemed for them it was humiliating to have these skills that you've basically honed over many years. And then you're told, ordered to train your replacement.
Let's listen to a comment on one of the other implications of offshoring, as you call it. Here's Joe talking about the question of worker safety.
In this country, we preach safety as a religion. We have OSHA to back it up. But when it went offshore, the safeties were taken off. They were just flat ignored. If you got hurt on a production line, they took you to the hospital, they fixed you up, and they said, you're done here. Boom, because there were 10 people standing at the door waiting for the job.
Now, does he know of what he speaks, or is he acting on rumor and just a sense of personal bitterness there?
No, actually, interestingly, he seemed very measured in talking about all of this. And he was acting on what he'd seen in various countries where he was assigned. He also had discussions with other former Sensata workers. They, too, said they had seen this. Now, I don't necessarily know how accurate his description is, but I heard this from several people who didn't talk on the record. They spoke off the record. And it's one of the advantages, of course, of offshoring. Other advantages are wages, the access to skilled labor, high productivity of labor, and faster growing markets. And many of these executives feel they have to be where the market is. And where the market is at this point is India,
right,
China, and dozens of other nations.
So, Philip Martin, based on your reporting, very quickly, is Bain, in your view, or in the view of these workers, a job creator or a job destroyer?
Bain created jobs. It went from 6,500 jobs to 12,000 jobs worldwide for Sensata.
Just
not in the United States.
Right.
In fact, it was a massive reduction.
Philip Martin from our partner WGBH in Boston on Bain Capital and the question of offshoring.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.